Welcome to Just the Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. Joining us today is natural foods industry expert, Mark Malardi. Mark is with New Hope Network, a division of Informa, and for 40 years has been the leading media resource and information provider for the natural, organic, and healthy lifestyle products industry. As Executive Director of Strategic Development, Mark Malardi is responsible for the strategic marketplace development of the Next Data and Insights service offerings, including the proprietary Next Trend pre-shelf natural products database, consumer segmentation, concept testing, advanced analytics, future insights, industry expertise, and an innovation lab to enable companies to quickly recognize and capitalize on emerging opportunities in the natural products market. The natural products industry is poised to grow to $262 billion by 2020, which is four times the projected growth rate of mainstream consumer packaged goods. Next provides consumer products, manufacturers, retailers, suppliers, and investment funds with a competitive advantage and forward-looking visibility that are critical for success in the natural products marketplace. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
My pleasure. Very nice to be here today.
Super. So let's start at the top here with an overview of Next and the New Hope Network. So introduce our listeners, if they're not familiar already, with New Hope Network.
Certainly. New Hope Network has been in operation for just about 40 years now. Most folks that know us in the food and beverage industry know us for our natural product expos. We own and operate Natural Product Expo East and Expo West. The East show takes place every September in Baltimore, typically, and the Expo West show typically takes place in Anaheim in March of each year. The natural product expos are the preeminent shows in the industry. We bring together a vast audience of natural products experts, entrepreneurs, company founders, pretty much everybody in the natural products ecosystem gathers at those shows. So the expos are our calling cards. New Hope writ large actually has several operating units, one of which is the exhibitions unit that accounts for the expos and the other trade shows that we orchestrate. In addition to those, we have a large business-to-business publishing division. We publish Natural Foods Merchandiser, NFM, which covers the retail side of the natural foods industry. We publish Ingredia, which covers the supply chain and the ingredients side of the industry, and a variety of other publications that collectively cover the entire, as I said earlier, natural products ecosystem. So on the one hand, we have the exhibitions division, the events division. On the other hand, we have the publishing division. And then there is our business unit, which is very simply called Next, N-E-X-T. We are essentially a data and insights consultancy that exists within the larger New Hope organization. This business unit was started several years ago. I myself joined a board about 3.5 years ago. And the Next Data and Insights group sits at the juncture of those two operating units, the events division and the publishing division. And our group essentially was established in order to draw down on all of the data, all of the proprietary learning and intelligence that comes out of the events division, out of the expos on the one hand, and then on the other hand, to draw down on all of the intellectual capital, the publishing wherewithal, and the content expertise that comes out of the publishing division, and to combine all that data, all of those insights, along with our respective backgrounds in the industry, with the mission being to help clients more successfully navigate the natural products landscape. That's our reason for being. We pool together proprietary data, intelligence, and insights that enable us to help clients as large as the major packaged goods companies all the way down to tabletop entrepreneurs to help them collectively be more successful in terms of their expenditures, their investment that they make in the natural products space. And one other element I'll mention, New Hope was acquired within the past year by a company called Informa. It was a very nice marriage, essentially, very complementary services and events that we offer. As an example, we, as I mentioned earlier, we have our natural product expos Informa brought to the table. Other international events that are adjacent to our events in the natural product space, one being Supply Side West, which covers extensively covers the ingredient, the supply chain side of the natural products business. Supply Side is an event that Informa has been running for quite a number of years. They also host the Vita Foods Asia and Vita Foods Europe events. So the coming together of Informa and New Hope really, on the one hand, more substantively built Informa's practice, business practice here in the U.S., in North America, and from a New Hope perspective, really made us a global entity and extended our global reach as regards the natural product space.
Thank you. So what I heard there is New Hope Natural Media is a small, unsophisticated company that sells t-shirts online, right? So I want to dig into a few areas and certainly talk about Expo West, which is coming up here in March, I believe, and offer some of my insights from when I attended that show. Before we move on to you know, those kind of flagship visible events, can you share with me an example of with respect to Next, an anecdote, if you will, and of course leave any company names out of this, of how or when a company approached you, the type of challenge or blind spot perhaps that they had, and the type of insights or data that you provided to help them. I'm not asking for a case study by any means, but just a quick real world example of when you helped a company through through all the data and the analytics and insights and expertise.
Yeah, certainly. I think a really good and topical, relevant example. We were approached a number of years ago, right around the time I joined the company. In fact, we were approached by interestingly by a nonprofit organization, a global philanthropic organization. They predominantly operate in Central and South America, and their mission is to invest in parts of the world in which situations where you, for example, where you have indigenous peoples who are in need of investment capital to build industry in those parts of the world that enables those communities to be self-sustaining. So in this particular instance, this philanthropic organization approached us with the premise that there is a super fruit in the Amazon basin, the bulk of it being in Brazil. And it's constituted of literally millions of hectares of growth of this particular super fruit, 98% of which literally just dies on the vine because there's no the local people eat it and to some extent manufacture it locally, but there really was no market for it, no outlet for it, no commercial application, and therefore, as I said, most of it just, rots on the vine, millions of hectares. And this particular super fruit is very high in a number of essential vitamins, very high in antioxidants, really amazing health properties and an amazing nutrition profile for this particular superfruit. So the premise upon which the nonprofit approached us was they wanted us first and foremost to do a U.S. market assessment of the commercial viability of this particular superfruit. And they wanted to get an assessment as to, you know, A, was there a market for this? B, you know, how large could that market be? And then importantly, C, in what form would the superfruit be most accepted by U.S. consumers? Meaning, should this superfruit as an ingredient be included in a beverage product? Should it be included as an ingredient into a food-based product? It even lends itself to skincare and UV sun protection. So it's conceivably it could be integrated into a personal care, a facial care, a sunscreen, or even a nutraceutical type of product. So that was the premise for the project. So we executed what I believe was a multi-month project at that point. We called upon collectively all of the intelligence and all the resources that we have available to us within the larger New Hope network, meaning that we used some of our original data, some of our proprietary data that we have at our disposal. We did expert interviews with both individuals within the company, like subject matter experts within our content and our publishing division. And we also went outside the company and we did expert interviews with key retailers in the United States, both in the traditional commercial brick and mortar channels, as well as with e-commerce retailers, and of course, importantly, with natural food stores, the Whole Foods, the Sprouts, etc. So we canvassed the retail community. We spoke to the distributors. We spoke to U.S.-based manufacturers, and essentially pulled together all of that intelligence to provide back to the client company an assessment of the commercial potential. We literally gave them a 5-year projection of what we believed the U.S. market would bear for their particular superfruit, and we did extensive we drew a blueprint for them. That blueprint, number one, defining the market potential. Number two, defining, as I mentioned earlier, the form in which the product would be best received. And with respect to that particular question, we utilized one of our services, one of the next services that we call Next Concept Lab, where we do concept testing. And it's a rather unique approach that we use. Again, we've been doing it now for several years, and the type of concept testing methodology that we use is a prediction market approach. So what we do is we recruit online U.S. representative consumer test respondents in large quantities, and we do an online survey with them that has three components. The first component is the prediction market component, and what that entails is, and this is even before we ask them whether they themselves would be interested in buying this particular type of product, the first question we ask them is, do you believe, quote unquote, that this product will sell a lot in market over the next 12 months? So what we're asking them is, do they believe that consumers writ large, you know, would buy this product? We're asking them to make an educated guess whether they themselves would buy it or not, as to whether the market at large will have an appetite for this particular product. So that's the first part of the exercise. So they're predicting what the market will do, in other words. The second part of the concept lab is the purchase intent. So would you yourself consider buying this product over the next 12 months? And then the third part of the concept lab exercise We give them the ability to give us open-ended feedback, kind of their gut level, you know, emotive reactions to the concept. And that tends to be, we get a lot of rich detail back when we pose that open-end question to them. And typically there's a lot of guidance that comes out of that that tells us why they did or didn't vote favorably for the product. And there's a lot of detail you can tease out of that into you know, what might be wrong with the underlying product proposition, you know, any challenges that you might have in helping the consumer understand the product proposition, et cetera, et cetera. So essentially, we executed that concept lab methodology for them, and we executed it with two stages. The first stage was to gauge their, you know, acceptance of this superfruit, you know, their receptivity to it. And then the other aspect of the concept lab testing was to get their feedback as to whether they saw the product best suited to a beverage product, a food product, or a nutraceutical type product. And the last aspect that we tested with them in concept lab was the positioning of the product. Should the philanthropic benefits, the philanthropic messaging be put forward and the health or functional benefits be put secondary, or should the order of that messaging be reversed? And we were able to, based on that research, come back to the nonprofit organization and tell them, number one, that it made the most sense to deliver this superfruit in a food product, and that number two, it made the most sense to communicate the health and functional benefits of the superfruit as the primary messaging element, with the secondary messaging element being the philanthropic and the societal benefits of the product. So we delivered our full analysis back to the nonprofit organization. Very successfully received. Everything looked very promising, both from a market assessment and a consumer receptivity standpoint. And then flash forward now, here we are, you know, 3+ years later. The way what's manifested since then is that nonprofit then went out and engaged a South American beverage manufacturer, who they connected us with. The South American beverage manufacturer took the results of the research we provided and was so excited by the market potential, the U.S. market potential of this superfruit, that they have agreed to take the superfruit along with several other adjacent superfruits from that part of the Amazon and to put them into a superfruit-infused line of beverages that we are now helping this South American beverage manufacturer develop, which are scheduled now to be introduced to the U.S. market very likely in the latter half of 2018. So here we have an example of a project that literally, you know, we've been involved with from inception, from concept stage all the way through to what will ultimately be the U.S. market introduction of this product line that includes the superfruit in question. So it's a great example of being able to divine the type of intelligence regarding the U.S. market that this nonprofit and then subsequently the South American beverage manufacturer needed to make them confident that, in fact, there was a market here. And then our ability strategically to work with those stakeholders to literally take this product from inception, conception, all the way through to ultimately what will be the U.S. market launch of a, you know, commercially viable U.S. product.
Awesome. Very cool. So obviously very, very comprehensive service, and I'm sure is tailored to and is customized, according to the needs of that specific, client of yours. So
that's right.
Very, very cool. Thank you for sharing that. So shifting gears to the Expo West coming up here in March, I'll make a quick pitch for you. I have attended Expo West. It is quite an impressive show up in Anaheim. I've been in the marketing circles here myself for quite a while, and I've been to any number of trade shows, and this was one of the bigger ones I've been to. There, you may have set a record for 10 by 10s throughout, but you know, plenty of large, you know, displays as well, of course, but a really impressive show. If you're in Southern California, I'd recommend, if this, you know, if Natural Foods is of interest of you, to check it out. I can't imagine that there are any kind of current or potential natural foods that aren't at this event. Without getting too deep into the details, is there anything new or specific or different about this show that you're expecting to unveil?
Yeah, in fact, it's been a fascinating evolution with Expo West. You know, I mentioned I've been with the organization about 3.5 years now, and I came from, you know, as you mentioned at the outset, that long career in the conventional, you know, food and beverage industry, and having had the pleasure now for a number of years of being associated with the Natural Product Expos and the Natural Products community, the growth is just explosive, absolutely explosive. I had actually segued out of the food and beverage industry for a number of years into the entertainment industry for a little bit, and also in the educational industry. And the reason I came back into the food industry was this opportunity to be involved in the natural, you know, and organic product space specifically. The reason being, there's so much innovation. It's just astounding, the passion that is exhibited in this side of the food and beverage industry, the level of you know, entrepreneurial zeal, the mission basis that you see to many of the brands, the products, the companies that are you know, up and comers in the industry. It's just so impressive, and the resulting energy is amazing, and then all of that, you know, kind of coalesces and manifests in particular at Natural Product Expo West. We, this past year, I believe we had about 90,000 business to business attendees this past year, and I believe we had in excess of 3,100 exhibitors. And this year, 2018, it'll be even larger. One of the very exciting things is the Anaheim Convention Center, where the event is hosted, actually did a capital build out. They've added a significant number of square feet to the convention center itself over the past 2 years. That new wing will officially be opening in this year, in 2018, and it'll enable us to again expand the size of the event, the size of the exhibit floor. It'll enable us to host a large number of additional attendees and additional exhibitors. And you know, that fact alone, the fact that the venue, you know, did this capital build out as a commitment to, you know, keeping the Natural Product Expo there year after year, just, you know, speaks volumes as to the growth in the industry, the direction the industry is moving in, and the energy behind all of that. So yeah, the show that's coming up in March will, you know, undoubtedly be the largest Natural Product Expo West ever. We'll have access to the new square footage there. And you know, one of the things that we've done for the past several years, and it'll continue, and it'll actually amplify even more at this year's expo. Each year, we've been collecting on the show floor at these expo events, both Expo West and East. We collect data on the show floor. We deploy a team of folks. They're called trend spotters, who literally over the course of the, you know, approximate 3 days that the exhibits are open, they literally visit virtually every exhibitor, and they take digital images of each and every new product, each and every new SKU that's being exhibited on the show floor. And we capture all that data, the images and all of the product detail, And then all of that data finds its way into a database that we call our Next Trend database. So we've been doing this now for about 4 years. I think this will be our, eighth expo or ninth expo that we've collected data on the show floor at. So I believe we have in excess of 130,000 individual SKUs that we now have complete detail on. So we know all the ingredients. We have the ingredient panel. We have the nutrition profile. We have health claims and certifications, gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian. We have marketing claims, essentially everything that appears on the product label for each of these new SKUs that is being exhibited. We're capturing that in this Next Trend database. And it's a very nice example of how the Expo itself, Expo West, not only is this amazing, community and this amazing networking opportunity and, this chance to experience in person the latest and greatest stuff in the natural and organic products space, let alone all the education that happens there. But then as a follow-on, we have this proprietary data source that results from the Expo experience that we then subsequently utilize with our clients to help spark and to help inspire and inform their new product development efforts and their innovation initiatives. So that process will continue and will actually be expanded at this year's Expo West. And in addition, the other thing that I'll mention specific to Expo West, we, for the past 2 years, we have executed what we call our Expo West Discovery and Insights Program. And what the Discovery and Insights Program entails, it's meant to address the issue that, the West is clearly a massive show, as you've said, and I've attested to here. One of the challenges that you have is that the show is so big that, it could become unwieldy for people. They, one individual will be hard-pressed to cover, the entire show floor over the course of the 3 days of the show. So the Expo West Discovery and Insights Program that we orchestrate is a structured way that we make available for exhibitors and attendees to experience Expo West. So, for example, we produce in advance of the show an Expo West, what we call a trend guide. And the trend guide is both a digital format document as well as a handheld four-color wire-bound document that somebody could, walk around the floor. And the trend guide provides all of the key trends that we know will be in evidence at Expo West. And then it drills down and provides specific brands, specific manufacturers with their booth numbers as to the brands and manufacturers that are representative of those trends. So, for example, if you are going specifically to investigate plant-based proteins, or you're going specifically to investigate functional foods or healthy snacking, purposeful snacking alternatives, you will be able to use the trend guide and have the specific floor walking guidance as to which brands and which products you specifically want to see with their booth location locked down. So that's an example of the increasing number of ways we're providing to offer additional utility to ensure that the Expo experience is as structured as it can be and optimizing the amount of intelligence that the attendees and the exhibitors can take away from the Expo West experience.
Yeah, I can certainly affirm that is the type of availability that'll really help folks, because it's a good problem to have, and that the show is so big and keep overwhelming. So I would say kudos to recognizing that and finding a solution for folks. In real time here, we're just after the new year. So I'd like to do a little prognosticating with you if we can regarding 2018. It seems like a good time to do that. I know, recently on the New Hope Network website, you have, kind of a Google Trends report, just, you know, highlighting some of the increased, you know, search keywords from the past year from a percentage standpoint. We see on there the keto diet, plant-based diets, Whole 30. So yeah, a couple of diets, not surprisingly, that, you know, may or may not be around in a few years, but we'll see where hype and science takes us. Black seed oil, apple cider vinegar, certainly in cauliflower rice, certainly a few products that are gaining some notoriety. And then food delivery near me is not surprisingly on the rise, as well as the kind of Amazoning of the food industry occurs here. People continue to seek convenience. Outside of what we mentioned there, if you, you know, maybe briefly, what, speaking on for yourself, I won't put, you know, put you as the spokesperson here necessarily for New Hope Natural Media, but what does Mark think that we should be paying attention to here in 2018? And if we could, maybe beyond what we think the next popular food is, I think sure. there's plenty of places for people to find that. But industry wide, what do you think? And I'll let you go, and then I'll offer my my one crystal ball thought here.
certainly sounds good. Yeah, you know, one thing that we've seen develop, evolve, especially over the past 2 years, and we expect it to continue and to grow, to amplify, is the increasing level of participation in the natural product space on the part of the major consumer packaged goods companies. You know, anybody who's paying attention to, you know, daily news bites has seen the number of acquisitions that have occurred over the past 2 to 3 years of, you know, traditional major food and beverage companies purchasing natural products startups. That trend just continues in a very profound way. And, you know, one of the ways that it's manifested in terms of the expo experience specifically, we, for the first time in 2017, had a C-suite CPG executive, Denise Morrison of Campbell's, be a keynote speaker at Expo this past year, and that was a real watershed moment, I believe, in the evolution of the industry. You know, we believe, you know, at New Hope, and we've always believed this, that ultimately, to make the right types of nutritious food affordably, cost-effectively available to the masses, there, to make that happen, to fulfill on that mission, ultimately there would have to be a coming together of the natural products industry with big CPG, big consumer packaged goods companies, and with, you know, big conventional retail. And I think we're seeing the fulfillment of that now. And I think we're only seeing the early vestiges of that. I think it's the tip of the iceberg right now in terms of that coming together. You know, you mentioned Amazon and their acquisition of Whole Foods, and that's, you know, that certainly is going to have a profound effect on the affordability and the access and home delivery of nutritious, you know, natural products to the mass consumer market. And we expect those trends are going to continue, and that they're really going to amplify. And as part of that, a couple of very like tangible manifestations of this that we personally I've seen and that we've seen over the past couple of years. One is that quite a number, in fact, of the consumer packaged goods companies, the traditional players, have outposts in Silicon Valley now. They literally have Silicon Valley teams who are charged with keeping abreast of the latest developments in terms of agricultural technology, in terms of all of the Silicon Valley and Wall Street money that's now flowing into the food and beverage industry to finance all types of natural products startups, some of whom have, you know, proprietary production methods, proprietary technology that they're utilizing to improve the food production process, to improve the food system, if you will. So the big CPGs are very aware of that. They're very on top of it. They're actively engaged with all of those trends and all of those developments to the extent, as I said, that they actually have Silicon Valley outposts to keep, you know, a close ear to the ground in terms of what's coming next and how the money is flowing. And in that regard, in terms of our role, our next team's role and New Hope's role in that whole equation, we ourselves have become very actively involved in the mergers and acquisitions, the investment side of that whole equation. And the form it takes is we have been commissioned by any number of large packaged goods players, CPG companies, particularly food and beverage manufacturers, who are utilizing our services to assess which companies, to identify and assess which upcoming companies and brands represent investment, if not acquisition potential, for the major CPGs. So both at the expos themselves, at Expo West and Expo East, and then in between the shows, we are acting in if you will, an advisory capacity with many of the traditional packaged goods players. They give us their investment criteria. They give us their particular segments within the space that they're interested in, you know, chilled versus frozen versus shelf stable, you know, whatever their criteria might be. And then we take those criteria and we look at the collective 5,000 exhibitors that'll be at our shows this coming year. And we vet those companies from the standpoint of the criteria and then effectively deliver back to the M&A and the venture folks at the CPGs and at these investment funds. We deliver back a filtered listing of companies that we think best meet their investment criteria, and then they push forward with discussions with those companies, and in some cases already that has led to investment stakes and acquisitions that they've made in the space. So if I had to, like, you know, look very, you know, broadly, 30,000 foot overview of the space and what's happening, I think that's one of the most pronounced influences right now, is the fact that traditional food and beverage has gotten the message. They understand that they have to be actively involved in this good food movement. In some cases, they're addressing that need by investment and acquisition, where, as I just articulated, we are, you know, very much involved. In other cases, they're addressing it by dramatically overhauling and revamping their new product development and innovation efforts. And that's another area where we strategically are engaged with a large number of the CPGs to help them, A, understand the space, B, define the areas of the natural products industry that they can enter, that they can confidently play, if you will, by help, you know, we look at their existing product portfolios, we match that up against the natural products industry, and we're able to look at white space opportunities. We're able to look at, you know, niches within the space that the CPG is able to operate and innovate and ideate against. So whether it be an investment initiative on their part, or an innovation, an organic growth / innovation initiative on their part, we're actively working on both sides of that equation to ensure that the entry of the CPGs into this space will be as seamless as possible, will be in the best interest of the natural products community writ large, and most importantly, that at the end of the day, that it'll serve the needs of the consumers in the space most effectively. So that's one very, you know, large scale, strategic, overreaching trend, market force, if you will, that I would point to that I think is going to be a defining characteristic for the natural product space in 2018 and beyond. And the other thing that I would introduce here is the international component. You know, I mentioned before that we were inquired acquired by Informa, which substantially increases our global reach, our global footprint. In similar fashion, I'm definitely seeing very definitively a strong international flavor to the U.S. natural product space, meaning that we are actively working with quite a number of overseas manufacturers and startups who have had success in their part of the world. Some of them are in, you know, Indonesia, Asia, Africa, South, Central America, and now they want to bring their products to the U.S. marketplace. So we are actively facilitating their entry into the U.S. marketplace. And I think that coming together globally, you know, that, flat world scenario, is something, again, that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, of right now, and that will, profoundly continue going forward.
Hmm. Well, you certainly have a great, wonderful big picture view to share. I appreciate it. I think there's two things that I'll be expecting or looking for at it, particularly at Expo West, if you will. One would be the obvious, which is just continued innovation. To say that natural foods is leading just the overall, innovation and kind of at the tip of the spear of food and beverage industry innovation would be, a pretty big understatement. So I expect that to continue. And then I'll be looking for messaging and methods of marketing in defining value proposition that goes beyond the obvious, which is to say that if we were to wind the clock back 15 years ago, if you said you were organic, you stood out. And then if you said you were GMO, you stood out. And so right. on, and now in a world where it seems to me, and I'm here in Southern California as well, that, practically the entire aisle is at the very least claiming natural. We're not going to go down the rabbit hole of whether or not they are, but is claiming that, that if you can't, if being organic is no longer a differentiator, because the market is not saturated, because I think we're far from that, but is overwhelmed with messaging related to being natural foods. I'll be looking mm-hmm. for identifying what companies are going to talk about next. Will it be taste? Will it be something else that I'm not smart enough to come up with here? But if you can't out organic the other one, then what are you going to offer? And the days of we are the only organic bread, or we are the only gluten-free organic bread with almonds and blueberries in it are almost over. And I think I missed last year up in Anaheim, but the prior year, that was one of my realizations. And I'll be curious to see whether or not brands have evolved to push themselves beyond, the ingredients, if you will, or the cleanliness of and consciousness of those ingredients and see what they do to differentiate as, I think as just everything and everyone catches up.
Right.
I think the next few years is going to be interesting in that regard. I'm putting my stake in the ground that I expect there to be some changes there, but I'm not yet. I'm not privy enough to be able to predict exactly what that will be.
Yeah, I think it's a great observation. There's no question that the space is increasingly competitive, hyper competitive, if you will, and the things that might have resulted in success in the early days of the the evolution of this, the growth of this industry, those things are, unto themselves are, not satisfactory anymore. They're, the game has to be upped. In that respect, we do, one of the things we see as a challenge is that evolution of messaging that, brands to be successful in this space, the brand really has to understand itself. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but I genuinely think it's more important than ever that a brand really understand its identity, that it has a mission and a purpose in the lives of its consumers that is patently crystal clear, and that identity / mission is captured from a messaging standpoint is captured in the most accurate, truthful, forthright way. And I think without that, you know, consumers are really savvy, and you know, the bulk of the consumer audience now are millennials, and they're more savvy than any generation that preceded them. They've got access to, you know, untold amounts of information. They have been reared on, you know, a very different information culture than I and other prior generations have been. So they're really savvy. They see through things in the blink of an eye. So any brand that isn't being transparent, that isn't being truthful, any brand that isn't being forthcoming, is likely, very likely, not going to cut it with the millennial audience. And it all, you know, leads you to the conclusion that for existing brands to maintain their success and for new brands to be successful, there's got to be very careful attention paid to, you know, what does the brand stand for? What is the brand's identity? What is the brand's purpose? And as part of that, when we look at the trends that have the greatest relevance in the here and now with natural products consumers, and, you know, probably not a surprise here, but those trends include environmental expectations. You know, the bar is now set very high from a consumer standpoint in terms of the quote-unquote environmental expectations and philanthropic and societal expectations that they have of the brands that they consume. Another aspect is transparency. As I mentioned, you know, being forthright, you know, clean label initiatives, you know, not masquerading, not making the brand out to be anything other than what it is. That level of transparency and forthrightness is critical, and ensuring that your brand is purposeful, that its purpose is clear, that it's well articulated, that the societal, environmental, social benefits of your brand are well defined and well communicated to the consumer audience. And increasingly, the bar is now set so high that brands even have to prove that their footprint, their carbon footprint is minimized. As an example, we're seeing a bounty of products that are being developed that capitalize on that result from waste in the food product system. So you have folks, for example, that are using the remnants of the winemaking process, the refuse from the winemaking process. They're using those refuse elements to produce wine-infused or wine-inspired snack foods. And we're seeing that pattern across all the segments of the industry where we're looking to utilize every aspect and to ensure that the waste is minimized in that product's ecosystem. So all types of amazing product opportunities are arising on that premise. So you know, long story short, I think your you know, prognostication is on target. I think the bar is increasingly being elevated in terms of consumer expectations, and that brands, especially the CPG brands, who don't have the legacy and in some cases don't have the credibility in the natural product space, they really have to get their messaging right. They really have to fine-tune it to the needs of the natural products consumer, and they have to be, again, very genuine, very upfront, and very transparent in their approach in order to be successful long-term in this space.
Awesome. Super. Well, you've been very generous with your time, so I and certainly plenty busy. So I'll let you go here in a moment and encourage the listeners, if they're not, to, you know, regularly follow newhope.com and all the various publications. I think a daily visit to newhope.com is I would consider to be required for anyone that's, you know, not just in the food industry, natural foods industry, but just interested in it. It's constant content being published on there that is very insightful. It goes certainly beyond just kind of the obvious kind of trade stories and you know, could go quite in depth. So encourage anyone to visit newhopenetwork.com and they can find all the information on different publications and newsletters and as well as some of the more extensive services like Next as well. And Mark, I hope to see you up in Anaheim in a few months here. And we'll look for some of these trends that you're referring to. And perhaps we'll check back after the show and see what we both observed and learned from it.
Yeah, very, very much so. Looking forward to it. Would love to follow up in that regard. And you know, as I said earlier, the energy is just so amazing now in the space. We'll see that in person at the Expo West in March. And it's again, I think we're, as I said a couple of times, we're at the tip of the iceberg in terms of where we're going with this stuff. And one last thing I would mention, there is another website we have available. It's called whatsnextinnatural.com. Whatsnextinnatural.com, exactly as it's spelled, exactly as I've articulated here. And that website is connected to the larger newhope.com, the New Hope Network website, and it specifically addresses a lot of the trend work and the data, proprietary data that we aggregate within the space. A lot of that is made available through whatsnextinnatural.com. So I'll leave you with that.
Excellent. Well, we'll check that out as well. Thanks again, Mark, and best of luck.
My distinct pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, a Chef's Best production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. You can always visit us at chefsbest.com to learn more.